Now to the sports world for a court ruling that could have major repercussions. South African Olympic champion runner Caster Semenya must lower her testosterone levels to compete in certain high-level races. That's the ruling this week from the Court of Arbitration for Sport. It said that Semenya's natural testosterone levels, which are higher than many female athletes, give her an unfair advantage. It's a battle Semenya and her supporters have been fighting for years, and the ruling came as a significant setback. Katie Barnes is with me. They're a sports and culture writer for ESPNW. Katie, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me back. Appreciate it.
So the ruling in this case was based on what exactly?
The ruling was based on oral arguments that were presented a couple months ago, where the IAAF presented their argument that Caster Semenya and athletes similarly situated to her have an unfair advantage given their levels of testosterone. And Caster's side argued that that's not true, and that she doesn't have an unfair advantage, and therefore these new regulations would be invalid, and ask the court to throw them out.
So Caster is not doping. Her testosterone levels are natural. Why is a court ruling on her ability to compete? Why? When did this even become an issue? I mean, how did we get here?
Oh, how we got here is a very long and complicated question. But to be as succinct as possible, this has always been a fight when it comes to women's sports, as far as who gets to be a woman and what it means to be womanly, and then what it means to not be enough of a woman. This goes back to any kind of discussion that folks will use shorthand. They'll just say, well, you know, East Germany in the 80s, as far as like women who are participating in doping, right? So sex testing and gender verification has always underscored the existence of women's sports, especially at the elite level, and it's packaged as a means to keep the integrity of women's sports intact, to make sure that there isn't a man competing amongst women, right? And so that is the short answer of how we got here for Caster specifically. Since she won the world championships in the 800 meter in 2009, this has been a problem for her. She was immediately forced to undergo sex verification by the IAAF that year and has been competing against women in perpetuity since that time.
What's Caster's response been so far? I mean, does she have options to continue competing? And if so, what are they?
So she has a couple of options. Her response, though, to be honest, has been muted on Twitter. She's just kind of posted a few quotes basically saying sometimes the best reaction is no reaction. Her camp can appeal to a higher Swiss court. I do not know if they will. They have not said specifically if that is something they will do. They have 30 days to decide that. If that is not the case, Caster has a couple of options should she want to remain competing. One of them is to be compliant with the new regulations that the IAAF will institute, which would require her to lower her testosterone levels to 5 nanomoles per liter, which is, for reference, the previous level was 10 nanomoles per liter. So it's half as much testosterone. And she would have to do that via medication, which a lot of folks have said is medically unnecessary treatment for her. So she could do that in order to compete in the 800 meter and possibly also the 1500 meter. Or she could choose to compete outside of that and see what the IAAF chooses to do. It's worth noting that last week she competed in the South African Championships in the 5,000 meters and won. So she might choose to do that, and we'll see how the IAAF would respond to such a thing.
One of the things that we've been talking about, as we're talking about this, it just feels like there's a level of scrutiny that's been on this particular athlete that we don't see in other athletes. And what I mean by that is that there are natural genetic differences that can play a part in an athlete's success. We see Michael Phelps, for example, who is very, very tall and has very, very long arms and legs, and that's exactly what makes him, I think, do what he does best. How do you take, why do you think, Katie, that Caster is being so scrutinized right now?
I think it's impossible to separate the intersection of sexism and racism in this particular case. It is worth noting that the two most high-profile women who have been having these conversations with the IAAF and have taken the IAAF to the Court of Arbitration for Sport have both been women of color, Dudi Chand in 2015, an Indian sprinter, and then, of course, Caster Semenya. And Castor in particular, as I mentioned, has been targeted since she really burst onto the world scene in 2009. And largely, when you read reports from that time, it's very clear that people were pointing to her physique. And it's not dissimilar from criticisms about, you know, the way that Serena Williams looks, you know, pointing to black women's physique in particular.
And that making them unfair competitors, right?
Correct. That is insinuation that somehow because Caster Semenya is muscular and she improved by a significant margin over a short period of time, then that is good enough reason to call into question whether or not she is woman enough to compete against her competitors. And that is what has driven this conversation. And it's hard to not look at what's happening with Caster Semenya and think about the fact that, like, Katie Ledecky has absolutely dominated her competition for the entirety of her career, and not once has anyone ever thought to question her sex. And she set world records. Caster doesn't even hold the world record in the 800. And so that is something that I think is just inextricable from this conversation, is just how sexism and then also racism play a very huge role here.
I want to talk a little bit also about how this ruling could impact trans athletes. You and I have talked about this issue in the past, and I'm wondering, trans women who might also have elevated levels of testosterone could be impacted by this, no?
Yeah. So these regulations for the 400 and the 800 and possibly the 1500 a mile as well require any athlete who wants to compete in those competitions or restricted events, as they're being called, to reach that 5 nanomole per liter threshold. And that includes transgender women. And so previously, transgender women, should they be on hormone therapy and going through a medical transition, if they hit 10 nanomoles per liter, that would be enough and they would be able to compete with women. But now that goalpost has moved considerably. And so that will be certainly a challenge. And it's worth noting that there are very few transgender athletes competing at the elite level, but underscoring not just like from a medical perspective what this means, but the precedent then of what this has said, which is that testosterone is the hormone that we should be most concerned about when it comes to athletic advantage. And that, culturally speaking, has the possibility to filter down through the elite levels all the way down to the conversations that we've had about youth and the access to sport for transgender girls and transgender women writ large.
Katie, what do we know, if anything, about the potential for side effects from this type of hormone suppression that's being asked of this athlete?
Everyone individually would respond to medication differently, but it is worth noting that the Court of Arbitration for Sport, in their ruling, did say that the IAAF expressed concern about how this could be implemented and the possible side effects for these athletes, and basically said that should there be side effects and should athletes come back to the Court of Arbitration for Sport and prove that there are significant side effects and harm done to them medically, that the proportionality of this, like, discriminatory policy, which the Court of Arbitration for Sport did say it is a discriminatory policy, but that proportionality would be called into question and could then shift the tide back to rendering these regulations invalid.
Katie Barnes writes about sports and culture for ESPNW. Katie, thanks so much for your insights.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.